with me is Pia Chatterjee, and this is the third episode of Weekly Advice from Everyday Experts, a Hub Pages podcast about cool random things. So, hey Pia, how
Hello,
are you doing?
Hello Simone, very well, thank you for having me.
I just wanted to ask you actually, what's your favorite drink?
That's an interesting question. I guess it depends so much on the weather. I think when it's super cold, I'd really like to have a glass of wine to warm me up. But when it's summery like today is, I think I prefer to stick to just water or lemonade. There's nothing like very refreshing lemonade on a very hot day.
Yeah, and there's just something very romantic about it. I think of lemonade stands in the 1950s.
What's your favorite drink, Simone?
Everyone thinks this is really weird, but my favorite drink is hot water. It's not even tea. It's just hot water. I think a lot of people served it to me in China, And I was like, what? This is great.
Yeah, I had hot water in China as well, and it was actually so much better for your health as well because it boiling the water gets rid of its impurities, and you don't fall sick as often from digestive issues.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. It just makes my tummy feel warm. Well, one thing that I think is really interesting, one drink that fascinates me, both culturally and just in terms of what it actually is absinthe. And one of our amazing hubbers on hubpages.com, who goes by the handle Mrs. Menagerie, which is such a fantastic name.
It is very cute. Yeah. She's from Montana, huh?
Yeah, she is. And she just recently published an amazing hub that both Pia and I were fascinated by called Absinthe Makes the Heart Grow Fonder, How Absinthe Really Affects Us. And that's what we're going to talk about in this episode.
It was a very, very cool hub. I loved reading it.
Yeah, and I mean, I didn't really know anything about absinthe before I read this hub because, again, all I drink is hot water. So now I do know that absinthe is a licorice-flavored spirit that's made with wormwood, anise, and fennel, which sounds really foodie and gourmet.
Yeah, and you know it was a wormwood that got the poor absinthe into a lot of trouble because it's supposed to have, how shall I put it, kind of not the best after effects, I guess. So it was banned from 1912 to 2007 in the United States.
Yeah, I remember when the ban was lifted. It
yeah.
was a big deal.
But in Europe, of course, people have been drinking it for years. The Europeans are so much more cool when it comes to enjoying yourselves, I must say.
It is so true. Yeah, and well, that's it. I didn't even know that it... To me, its origins are very similar to the origins of Coca-Cola, which is weird, but absinthe was originally created by a doctor, although, you know, Coca-Cola wasn't created by a doctor, but it was still created as a sort of tonic. And absinthe was created by a French doctor in Switzerland who went by the name Dr. Pierre Ordinaire, which is such a great name. But it was actually invented by him to cure stomach illnesses.
You know, I first found out about absinthe as a child when I would look through all the art books that my parents had floating around the house. And I used to go through the pictures painted by Vincent van Gogh and Lautrec, and I was fascinated by green drinks. And for some reason, I thought, you know, growing up in India, that it was a pistachio ice cream of some sort.
Oh, gosh.
So, because it was just this right color, this emerald green thing in what looked like a milkshake glass. So I grew fascinated by it, and I would ask all the adults around me whether they knew where I could get such a drink.
Oh,
I didn't realize it was an alcohol.
And they were like, why is little Pia asking
well,
for
absinthe? Well, they didn't actually even know. It was only after I went to college in England that someone pointed out absinthe to me. And I realized that it was actually the drink that I'd seen in paintings as a child.
How interesting. Yeah, it's very fascinating to me how this drink went from a medical cure to something that was really adopted by the bohemian art and literature crowd in France in the late 1800s and early 1900s. And as Pia pointed out, the drinks actually ended up in a lot of paintings and were referred to by a lot of famous people. As Miss Menagerie says in her hub, artists and writers such as Oscar Wilde, Vincent van Gogh, Toulouse-Lautrec, Marc Twain and Pablo Picasso helped fuel absinthe's questionable reputation by claiming that it could enhance creativity and cause capricious mind alterations. It's just so interesting, you know, that, I mean, something went from, oh, you know, try this when your stomach hurts, to this sort of forbidden, romantic, dangerous, and inspiring drink.
Yeah, and it is 75% alcohol.
That's so inspiring.
Yeah, well, so you have to be a little bit careful before you, you know, tuck into it. But when my friends in England, someone's mom gave her a bottle of absinthe, and of course we were all fascinated by it, and we didn't really know how to drink it. Ah. So we drank it out of just like wine glasses, but we did know enough about putting a sugar cube, and we didn't have the beautiful slotted spoon that Mrs. Menagerie talks about, so we just used a fork. But our you know, it worked really well, because it's kind of, the method was to put it on top of the glass of absinthe, and then someone had told us this, and sure it's not the right method, perhaps even a little dangerous, but we dribbled a little bit of absinthe on top of the sugar cube, set it on fire, and then doused it with some water right into the glass.
Oh my gosh.
So it did turn milky the way the hub talks about, and it was actually a very delicious drink, not something that you want to have a lot of, I guess, but it was lovely as a cocktail for us starving students.
That's fascinating that you lit it on fire. I guess that burnt off some of the alcohol by lighting it on fire.
I suppose so. It also gave a really delicious caramelized taste. When I did later drink absinthe in Italy, my husband had never had it, and we were in Italy right after we got married, and I'm like, oh, you must try it. And they actually served it the right way, which I have to say I didn't like as much.
So could you describe the proper or traditional serving method of serving absinthe?
I guess you need a few paraphernalia around absinthe. There's a certain kind of glass. It actually looks a little bit like an old-fashioned ice cream cup. And you have a little slotted spoon on top, on which you do, in fact, put a sugar cube. And then you dilute the absinthe with sweetened ice water. So what you do is have one part absinthe to four parts water. And I guess after that, you drink it up. But to be honest, it's such a creative and interesting drink that I think people should feel free to do whatever they wish with it and make it their own.
Such as lighting it on fire. I think that sounds like a lot of, I want to light, well, pretty much everything on fire. So
absinthe. Have to be careful, though.
Yeah, oh, well, yeah, safety first, everybody. You obviously heard Pia refer to a couple sort of specialized drinking or enjoyment implements, I guess. And Miss Menagerie actually does a great overview of some of the major paraphernalia that came to be associated and used with absinthe, that's actually called absinthania or theana. Let's see. Yeah, absinthania or whatever. It's just special, like, absinthe accessories. And there are those special glasses that Pia talked about that are referred to as reservoir glasses. They actually have a little indentation in the bottom to hold the 1 ounce of absinthe at the bottom, so you know exactly how much you need to measure in, which is super smart. And they're also beautiful pieces of glassware with those nice stems. They're absinthe spoons, like Pia was talking about, slotted spoons that you put on top of your cup. But you could also get something called a grill, which is something that you just slap on top of the cup that does the same thing but isn't a spoon. And then there's this amazing serving thing if you're sort of having an absinthe party or drinking absinthe with a lot of people, called a slow drip fountain, that is basically a vessel with a tall stem and tiny spigots that will drip out water, drip at a time into your absinthe cups, with the sugar cube and slotted spoons on top, of course, that will help a lot of people sort of serve themselves absinthe at one time. And there's even something called a brulier, which is a glass with a little metal bowl on top that will also dispense the water through your or to your glass. So it's fascinating to think that so many people have invented special tools for enjoying absinthe. I mean, hot chocolate is, I feel like, a much more common and famous drink than absinthe, and yet hot chocolate hardly has any special tools aside from those cool, like, stirring spoons. So.
Well, the story around absinthe is so interesting, I suppose. It's called the Green Fairy because of its green color.
And I always wondered that, because, you know, in the movie Moulin Rouge, they had this whole thing with, like, the green fairy, like, darting around. I thought it was because, you know, everyone, like, was supposed to see some green fairy. Like, mm-hmm. I thought absinthe was this forbidden drug that was, like, a total hallucinogen, and...
Well, you know, you're not completely wrong, because there's a term, I guess, a drinking term called dancing with the green fairy, which is directly related to absinthe and talks about the hazy feeling that a drinker experiences after, you know, I guess, drinking too much of absinthe.
Oh, I see. Yeah, actually, that's the big reason why I think absinthe was banned for so long, as people thought that it was a hallucinogen or that it was... A very, very addictive and dangerous drink.
Well, it does have wormwood in it. And,
yes, and wormwood contains an active chemical called thujone, or I don't know how to pronounce it, but that is the thing that was supposed to be so dangerous.
Mm-hmm. But I suppose if it's allowed everywhere, there must be, you know, it can't be that bad for you. And I have to say, the few times that I've had a chance to enjoy absinthe, I found it absolutely delicious, though a little bit scary.
Yeah, well, I think anything that has a sort of, like, bad boy or dangerous rap is, you know, you're going to feel a little bit nervous when you try it. And, I mean, especially because, again, there has been such a stigma. I mean, even in the 1870s, there was this French psychiatrist named Dr. Valentin Magnan, or I can't pronounce French words, I'm sorry, but he thought that absinthe was responsible for the downfall of his people, and he did this crazy experiment with guinea pigs trying to prove how dangerous...
Oh, poor guinea pigs.
Yeah, how dangerous the thujone and the wormwood is, and... I mean, it didn't really... It wasn't a very valid experiment, but, I mean, so many people thought it was such a dangerous drink that I can totally understand why. I mean, you'd feel a little bit of maybe even an illicit thrill when you try absinthe for the first time.
Well, Mrs. Menagerie did a little taste test, didn't she? And she said that she loved the scent, and she liked the sweet flavor, and she thought it tasted like Good and Plenty candy, which was interesting.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I really want to try it now.
Well, you should.
We should, yeah. Oh, well, you've tried it. I need to get my hands on some absinthe. But it's great. This is just overall a fantastic article with very interesting history, great description of the drink. You've definitely got to go check it out on hubpages.com. So just go to hubpages.com and you can search Absinthe Makes the Heart Grow Fonder, How Absinthe Really Affects Us. Just, you know, before we wind up here, I think it would be fun to talk about a little bit about Mrs. Menagerie, because she's such a great new author on our site. So,
and she calls herself Mrs. Menagerie because she often feels, I thought it was hilarious, she often feels as though she's living in a zoo, and that's exactly how I feel sometimes.
Yeah, me too. But of course, you know, zoo life is far more interesting than anything else, so I think that, you know, she's in good company.
Mm-hmm.
She's also a wife and a mother of two kids.
And she owns two restaurants, which I think is awesome.
Yeah, which I think explains why a lot of her hubs are...
About food and drinks. Yes.
Yeah, so maybe she even serves absinthe at some of her restaurants. I don't know. It would be really cool.
We should find out.
Yeah, we should. We'll have to contact her. But definitely check out Mrs. Menagerie on Hub Pages. She's an amazing author. All of her articles are amazing. And if you want to join any of the illustrious authors on Hub Pages and start writing some of your own amazing articles and histories and explorations, just go to hubpages.com and join. It's totally free, it's extremely easy, and it's also really fun. We've got a great community of authors, and we'd be really happy to see you with us. Thanks for joining us today.